In Lanka, Ravan was somewhat ashamed and afraid at the thought of what Hanuman had achieved. He summoned his ministers and took counsel with them. He began in an apologetic tone, saying,
"What has happened is something strange and unexpected. No one has till now been known to enter our city. But this envoy of Ram has not only entered Lanka, he has met and talked with the imprisoned Sita. He has destroyed temples and palaces. He has slain some of our best warriors. He has filled our people with fear. And this thing is not likely to stop here. Hence, we have to consider what should be done. You know that the king should decide his course of action only after consulting his loyal ministers, who have clear vision and are well-versed in statecraft. And so I have summoned this council. Ram has become a constant enemy. So let us consider what we should do about it. The king has no use for ministers who are not straightforward, and who, not knowing their own minds, wobble in their advice. The matter before us is most important. Ram is strong, and so is his army. It is certain that they will contrive somehow to cross the sea. It would be unwise to trust to that single defense. So, consider well, and tell me how we can strengthen and secure our city and army, and what steps we should take to defend ourselves."
After listening to the king, the members of the assembly said,
"Great king, knowing well that our army and our weapons are the strongest in the world, why should you be anxious? Where is the enemy who dares to attack your fortress and who can oppose your army with any hope of success? The world knows your might. Did you not invade the city of Bhogavati and defeat the Naga king? Did you not attack the powerful demigod Kubera and defeat him and his yakshas and capture his aerial chariot as well as this island of Lanka? And did not the demon Maya, in fear of you, beg for your favor and friendship and give you his daughter in marriage? How many cities in the nether region have you not attacked and taken? The sons of the god of the ocean, Varun, and the god of death himself, have been suppliants for your mercy. And who is this Ram? Your son Indrajit by himself can destroy Ram and his Vanar army. Did he not seize and imprison Indra, the king of the gods himself, and afterwards let him go? How can Ram and his Vanars stand against such a warrior? You have only to bid Indrajit to destroy this monkey horde, and all will be over. So why should you, great king, be anxious?"
Thus they spoke in praise of their king. The commander-in-chief, Prahasta, rose like a great black cloud and said,
"You who subdued in battle the demons and the demigods and the celestials, why should you, O King of Kings, feel anxious because of these little creatures? It is true that the monkey came here and caught us napping and did some mischief. But this sort of thing will never happen again. And if he comes again, I know how to manage him. I alone can destroy the whole Vanar race, if only you will order it. You need not fear any danger,
from this small indiscretion of yours, the abduction of Sita.
Next, Dermica rose and roared, "We shall not let this monkey's bravado and undeserved good luck go unavenged! I shall go this very instant, my lord, and destroy the Vunnar army, root and branch, and return victorious!"
Vajradhamstra stood with a terrible iron club in his hand and cried,
"Here is my weapon, unwashed, and still covered with the blood and flesh of my foes. Why waste your time talking about this monkey? Are not Ram and Lakshman our enemies? I shall slay them first, and then destroy the Vunnar army, and return immediately. Only let me go. I have some advice to give you, King, if you would listen. Let us order some Rakshasa warriors to put on human form and approach Ram, telling him, 'Your brother Bharat has sent us in advance. A great army is coming behind to help you.' While Ram is thus fooled into negligence, our Rakshasa army can travel through the sky and destroy him and his followers on the other shore. This, my king, is my advice."
Then Nukumba, son of Kumbhakarna, rose and said,
"All of you may stay here with the king. I shall go alone and meet and destroy the enemy and bring you the news."
Another Rakshasa, licking his lips, said with gusto,
"I shall go alone and kill and feast on the flesh of these two men, Ram and Lakshman. Please let me go."
Thus, one after another, they got up and spoke brave words to please Ravan. And then all of them stood up together and, raising their weapons, roared aloud. At that, Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravan, made them all sit down and said to the king with folded hands, "Brother, what these people say is sweet to hear, but not true or good to act upon. Anything done in violation of the science of politics can only lead to grief and ruin. It is only after trying conciliation, giving gifts, and sowing discord that one should think of using force of arms against a foe. If you take the advice of these people and start a war now, it would mean the destruction of Lanka and all of us. We should consider the demands of morality. It was not right, it was indeed a great sin for you to have seized and brought Ram's wife here. We should first cleanse ourselves of this sin. What harm did Ram do to us? What Ram did in the Dundak forest was in pure self-defense, and the defense of those that looked to him for protection. He fought with and killed only those who went out to slay him. His actions surely do not justify your carrying away his wife. And even if we had any just complaint against him, we should have met him in battle. Instead of that, to contrive his absence in order to seize his wife, that, my brother, was very wrong and sinful. when the fault is on your side. It is morally not right that we should think of battle. Further, warcraft requires that before fighting, we should take some measure of Ram's strength and that of his army. We have had some taste of Hanuman's strength and skill, so it is pointless to talk lightly of him. Did he not do remarkable things? Though our own strength may be great, we should weigh it against the enemy's strength and then decide whether we should seek war or avoid it. But first, it is essential that we should restore Sita. My advice is this. Before Ram and the Vanars attack Lanka, let us restore Sita. Oh, my dear brother, I am saying all this for your good. So please do not be angry with me. We should first set right our own fault and then think of other things. Thus, with folded hands, the Bhishan besought Ravan. Though Ravan was pleased with the vainglorious words of his ministers and generals, there was doubt lurking in his mind. Hence, after listening to Vibhishan, he said,
"Let us meet again tomorrow and consider this matter."
He adjourned the council and retired.